Morning Show. Listen live on the Odyssey app.
Okay, let's get things going. Got some good news, got some bad news to get things going today. Mahoney, what would you like first, my friend?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
And I've seen everyone freaking out on social media about this.
What's that?
The Choco Taco is gone for good.
Come on.
You don't like that, Mahoney? I'm shocked.
I love the Choco Taco. The Choco Taco is a classic, iconic piece of Americana desserts.
It's getting a little long in the tooth. Had to take it out back and...
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, Dave, they're not.
No,
it's coming to an end. No, it's not. Guess
it's
what?
Causing hysteria.
6 months later, they're going to sell out their inventory, wait 6 months, and then all of a sudden the Choco Taco is back.
Oh, you're thinking it's a marketing strategy.
It is. That's exactly what it is. This is what every, like, they've done this with so many products over the years, cause this mass hysteria, get free advertising.
Wait, who Klondike does this?
All sorts of businesses do.
The McRib.
The very first one.
Like that's the most famous
one. That's like a limited release,
though,
right?
I would say the most famous one is Coke. Coca-Cola was the first one they changed the product. Like Circus Crackers. There have been so many of these stories over the years, and I'm just so sick of these companies like, oh, we're getting rid of it. People, the Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Oh, that's another good one, yeah.
Oh, it's screw you, Klondike.
I don't know if I've ever had a Choco Taco.
I don't either. That's why I was surprised to see everyone melting down about it.
It looks good, though.
It does look good. I was like, ooh, that little
it
waffle.
It just looks like a dum-dum just flipped and reversed a little bit. Like one of those dum-dum
Those
cones.
Are suckers.
Oh, what's that? What the drumsticks, sorry.
Drumsticks,
yeah, the drumsticks. Dumb, I can remember. But it just looks like a drumstick, just taco style.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're, like, really hard-pressed, just go get the competitor.
I just had no idea that
it's the lesbian drumstick.
some good news today as well. The U.S. is going to plant 1 billion trees as climate change is killing forests.
That's what'll do
it. That's good news.
That's exactly what we need right now in a moment of climate crisis. More trees. I feel like that is just the biggest, just like, look, we're doing something. Like, sure, yes, we need trees. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to be like a negative Nancy over it, but like, there really are massive amounts of other things. Like, I don't know, Holt, Coca-Cola. We were just talking about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is one of the largest polluted
companies. Number one, yeah.
In the world.
You know what? I get so tired of this government. Every couple of years, they're like, oh, we're out of trees. And next thing you know, they're going to plant a billion new trees. It's just a marketing ploy.
They're just going to take away trees and bring them
back.
Right.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Have you ever been stood up for a date?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Man, like... several times.
That's...
I mean, not recently and not in the age of like cell phones, but in high school and when I was in before I was a community college dropout, when I was still the cock of the walk at St. Charles County Community College, or we like to call it SCU. SCCC.
Yeah, got it.
SCU. Yeah, man, I got stood up like probably 3 or 4 times, but the worst one...
Where you like would go to like the restaurant to meet up and you'd be...
One time
sitting at the table by yourself?
One time at an Outback, which was maybe why I worked for the competitor after that.
Yeah.
Lone Star Steakhouse and Saloon, but we know Outback won that battle.
Did you still eat at Outback
by
yourself?
It was delicious.
Yeah?
That baked potato soup.
Oh, yeah.
That bread.
Real good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Not mad at it. It's good eating. But the worst one was like, I remember I was like a sophomore in high school.
Multiple times, Mahoney, you've been stood up?
The worst one was sophomore in high school because...
Oh.
There was this girl who was a senior who had a car.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually, I was a freshman because I didn't even have a car yet.
Oh, no.
And I was waiting for her to come pick me up from my house.
Oh.
And, like, my parents went to bed. They're like, oh, have fun.
And you were, like, looking out the window, just waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting a little more.
Yeah.
And then you see some headlights. There she is. She's finally coming. No, different car.
Kristen, you're an asshole. just going to throw that out there.
After all these years,
years.
Mad about it.
Yep.
The reason I bring it up.
And you're single now, still.
Hey,
that's right.
So you keep
up
with her? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Nah, man, it's been 28 years. I'm still glad. You know what? You treat people that way, bad things happen.
True, Mahoney.
A Michigan woman is suing a man for standing her up on a date and demanding $10,000.
What?
Yeah. Got into a heated argument with a judge during a virtual court hearing on Zoom. According to the claim filed, the experience caused her emotional distress because the date fell on her late mother's birthday, And so she is suing for $10,000.
I mean, I feel like that's on you.
That's
for...
That's on you 100%.
I mean, like, even if it didn't fall on your late mother's birthday, you get stood up. It happens. Is what it is.
Yeah, it seems like you're blending two things. Like, if the date had gone great, would that have been better for you? Because it's your dead mom's birthday and you're out there going on dates. What? Not that you shouldn't be doing that. I'm just saying if it's so emotionally charged for you,
why
take
are we
the day off.
Referring to her as her dead mom? Like her mother, who, why not like her mom who's passed, but like her dead mom?
Because it's for dramatic.
Feels very aggressive.
She's being dramatic, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I see why he stood you up now.
But
oh, wait, is that why I got stood up?
Yeah. So if this
am I the a-hole?
If this woman wins this case, I think we should bring a lawsuit against Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an I, not an E.
28 years later.
Which the I's.
She'll never see it coming.
The Kristens with the I's versus the Kristen with the E's, way more pretentious.
That's true.
Just throwing that out there. You know who you are. I see you. That's because there's an eye.
Yeah, no, I don't get why she stood you up. Yeah. It's weird.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You think, with all the people bitching about the high gas prices, that you see more people riding a bike to work.
Message deleted.
No, it is way easier to just complain than to actually do something.
Oh,
and
sure.
Also, have you ever tried to ride your bike to work?
No.
You roll up our old boss, Chris Ripley, back in the day.
I mean, he had calves.
I mean, he loved
biking.
You would
not believe his calves.
Very in shape, but he would always, the days, like the rare occasion that he would ride his bike into the station, he would be sweaty as hell.
Yes, you'd show up drenched in
sweat.
And
then he never knows where to put his bike.
Yeah, because if you leave it outside, is somebody going to steal it? Or you're that douche that rolls your bike inside the building, and you're like, what are you doing?
And you got to wear those little shorts.
Yeah.
Shorty shorts. That's how you end up in HR.
The biggest thing for me, and Mahoney, I think that you're kind of the same way. Like, I don't want to smell bad.
No, never.
And if I ride my bike to work, I'm going to sweat.
Yes.
And then sitting here, covered in sweat for multiple hours at a time. Because we're definitely working for 8 hours a day.
Maybe 10 hours.
Yeah, easy.
Or 12.
Sometimes 14.
16.
Yeah, we could love
22.
Long, hard days.
Yep. And then when that's all done, when it's all said and done, after you've worked those 23-hour days like Dave and I work.
Every day.
You have to bike home.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to bike your ass back home after you are just exhausted.
See, that part doesn't, that doesn't bother me as much, though, because the biking home, at least you can go jump right in the shower.
No,
sort of
I
thing,
hear
you, know?
But you're not. Maybe it's just me because I leave it out all out on the field every single day. I am so physically drained after every day.
Well, because you again work so hard.
I leave it on. Yeah. You know, I try to go big. You know, we got today. Tomorrow's not promised, so I'm giving it all today.
You're teasing. I really have been really tired after
the
show.
I'm tired as hell. I'm not teasing. I am physically and mentally exhausted after every show.
How does that make you guys feel? Like, does it? Whenever we get done with the show, I'm like, man, I could really use a nap. And then I'll nap, and I'm like, I feel like so gross taking this. I'm a 4-year-old, like taking this like midday nap. Like I just can't go on after working for 4 or 5 hours, and I'm like, oh God.
I'm pretty sure
23 hours.
Yeah,
stick to the talking points.
There's a gas leak in here or something. I don't think it's because we're physically gassed out.
No, not physically, but it's just definitely one of those things where I feel like I'm like, dang.
We wake up very early most of the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, and then you work a full day. It's, you know.
Well, whenever you're putting all of your emotions, and I did not realize until I started working radio however many long years ago, so many moons ago, how seriously, like when you're talking this much all day long, that really does emotionally wear you out.
Yeah.
And can we just talk about the base thing about riding your bike too? How unsafe it is.
Well, not,
everybody's texting.
Yes, everyone's distracted.
People on the bikes are texting. How am I supposed to text and ride?
There was a couple of, I told you guys about that road trip we took for summer vacation. There was several times where I was like, what is going on with this 18-wheeler? Like, they're weaving all over the road. Their trailer's going all over the place. You pull up next to them, and they're texting.
Sons of
bitches. An 18-wheeler?
Yes.
I mean, the odds of me hitting you on a bike are high.
80%.
I mean, maybe more.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, so other than Lost and, the Game of Thrones, what show,
that you loved that had an awful finale.
Message deleted.
I almost turned on The Sopranos the other day, and I know it's not an awful finale, but I know how it ends. I've seen the ending.
Well, it just shocked you in the moment. I remember watching it live and thinking the same night, and thinking my DVR broke.
Call me a purist. I want closure.
Sure.
I've come to accept that ending way more so many years later. In the moment, I was like, what? I felt like it felt like a cheap way out, but I appreciate it more years later. But maybe that's just because everything was good. Whereas Game of Thrones, the last two seasons were, outside of the action sequences, were just phoned in.
What about Sons of Anarchy? Do you love that ending, or did you hate it?
No, I liked it because it came full circle. You found the Raven, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was going out like his dad did. No, I do like that. I thought that it kind of, again, came full circle from the beginning of the story, the way that you found out about Jack's
Friends.
Dad.
Friends ending. Garbage.
Seinfeld. Garbage.
Seinfeld may be you know what? Lost and Game of Thrones have given Seinfeld such a
pass.
Yeah. Because that was just...
Seinfeld is still regarded as a great show.
But they never showed the finale.
It was an ensemble cast where they just brought back in all of these people.
And they kind of almost like a rerun show.
Yeah.
Ew. Well, because, he didn't get canceled. He canceled himself.
Yeah.
It was, but...
But, so they didn't have it written.
You can watch any episode of Seinfeld outside of, the first season. The first season was garbage. The Seinfeld Chronicles, which nobody... But, season two to season, 10?
Yeah.
Are always in reruns, but they never, ever show the finale in reruns.
You know what? I just hated the end of... Everybody Loves Raymond. there are so many shows that were so popular that I don't even know how they end. Modern Family. You guys were talking about that the other day. No clue how it ends. How does it end?
I don't know.
I actually watched it through the end, and I remember I didn't hate it.
That 70s show, how did it end?
No idea.
Punk'd. Became the 80s.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Okay, be honest, guys. Do you believe in the 5-second rule? Something falls on the floor, then 5 seconds, you pick it up, you can still eat it.
Depends on what kind of floor it's on. And what kind of food it is play a major factor into this. Carpet, and it's a wet food, nah. Hard food, hard floor, hard food, possibly.
Even out in public?
No.
At the house only. At home?
Yeah.
So if you drop a piece of pizza, not a whole piece, but let's say that you've cut it up or whatever, it's like a little chunk of pizza, and it falls on the floor, even carpeting, but it's crust down, you don't pick it up?
Crust down? No. It's going to pick up. Pizza is very porous.
Nah.
It's going to pick up.
It's fine.
Carpet particles.
I feel like
I've
got a lot more.
Your carpet's clean, right?
Still, though, it's 10 years old.
I've gotten a lot more liberal with the 5-second rule with the kids.
Well, because you're building their immune systems.
Yeah, so they'll drop something on the floor, and then they'll pick it up, and they'll be little Olivia. She's like, Daddy, is this yucky or yummy? I'm always like, yeah, it's yummy. Go ahead and just eat it.
She asks if it's yucky or yummy. Yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
Until she gets a hairball.
I mean, whatever. Again, it's just building immunities. Yeah. I think that certain... surfaces as well, you could take this rule into account, not just the floor. So, the other day, I had a dumpling just slip and slide right off of my plate and went onto the table at a restaurant, and I picked it up real quick and put it back down on the plate.
Oh, that's fine.
But you know that they use them nasty rags.
Yeah.
So, I really had to think about it. I was like, do I eat this? Mahoney, would you have eaten it?
That, yes.
If it got onto the table.
Onto the table.
Table's fine.
But, the table's not that clean.
What if it fell onto, the booth where you were sitting?
No. They don't wipe the booths down.
They should.
Often.
Oh,
as often.
Unless there's,
do you think the booths
there,
have more germs than the table, though?
People think about all them butts.
Yeah, it's a lot of butts, but at least they're clothed.
You've never farted on a booth?
Never.
I fart in a booth all the time.
You ever farted in a booth and got nervous that the person sitting next to you felt the ripple effects?
The person behind you that's sharing the same piece of plastic with you?
Yeah, so I do eat it if it's off the booth.
Yeah.
No, I'd never had something go that crazy rogue off of my plate before. I don't think.
I think the 5-second rule is totally acceptable.
No, they've done scientific research on this, and they have proven that the 5-second rule is not, in fact,
it's instantaneous,
valid.
Right?
Instant
germs.
It hits the floor, and the germs transfer immediately.
Well, kind of exactly like whenever flies touch your food.
Dude, flies, why are you, I'm just going to kill you now. You're turning me into a murderous son of a bitch.
I know.
Like, I don't want to murder you, but you're coming over here, and now you're asking for it.
Well, but any fly that touches your food, we really shouldn't be eating it. Same kind of concept.
No, they go straight from a steaming pile of crap to your food.
But I just am like, scat, scram.
So you're fine with it. Like a fly
I'm not
lands
fine with it, but I mean,
right on your meatball of your spaghetti plate.
Do you stop eating it after it hits your picnic food?
I mean, sometimes I get so mad that I'll like go after the fly. If it's inside my house.
Oh, I'm
like you, we're going to war.
You're in my house, fly?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Nah.
It happened the other
you're
day.
You're an intruder.
I got so mad at a fly because it landed on my food while I was eating it. I picked up one of the pillows on the couch and just threw it at the fly.
Hey, man, it's Castle Doctrine.
Yeah.
You come in here.
Got it.
Depends on, like...
I mean, there's some fly guts on that pillow now, but I just flipped
it
over.
Oh, you did get it?
Yeah.
So you think.
No. There was a lot of fly guts.
How hard was this pillow? How hard did you toss this pillow?
I didn't tell my wife about it. Just be cool, man.
Here, my...
Cover your ears.
Everybody deserves their day in the sun, and that's exactly what this is all about, Mahoney. It's trying to give these people an opportunity to break through. And obviously, you know, if you're on this radio show, tens and tens of people are going to hear you.
Dave, we have been the springboard for many a band across these great states of United many times.
Can you name any that we've really springboarded?
Killers.
The Killers, yeah. Crossfade.
Magic Dragons.
You're so
Panic at the Disco, they're all directly...
Slaughter
to us. Slaughter, yeah.
The Urge.
Gwar. We were one of the few radio shows back in the day that did play Rammstein, so.
I did, man. I love Rammstein.
You love that one song from Rammstein.
Du Hast.
I love anything that's with metal and German in it. And it's like,
it just sounds so, like.
Aggressive.
Violent.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Audrey, you get the option. You want to go first or second on the first one?
Number one, please.
Okay, 30 seconds for this. Go ahead and listen to the whole thing. If you get the artist and the song. You get a full point if you're the artist, or the song, you get a half point. Here we go. That's 30 seconds. That is performed by the Earl of Easy Core. 273 views.
I can kind of hear what it's trying to be, but like he's doing it not even in like the same like beat as the original song, so it's like really tripping me up.
Yeah.
The piano is like so bad too.
It's a lot, yeah. It's
can
lot
I hear it for five seconds in the beginning? That's the where beginning. I could kind of hear
okay.
it. No, got nothing. Your turn, Mahoney.
Let me finish that out. Finish that out. Still it's hard, but say
it. Lives, and
it's like you can almost hear what it's supposed to be.
Somehow getting worse.
Okay. It's like I'm trying to think of that melody right there. Oh God, you're right. It's the piano that throws really. I believe that is that Linkin Park?
No. You always guess Linkin Park. No, it's not Linkin Park. That was The Kids Aren't All Right by The Offspring.
Oh, I never would have. I would. I can't. No, that's not what I was thinking. Any at
Damn
all.
Damn it.
Okay, here we go on to number two, Mahoney. You get the first crack of this one. Uh-huh. 30 seconds on the clock.
Said eyes, follow me. But I still believe there's something left for me. So please come stay with me. 'Cause I still believe there's something left for you and me, for you and me, for you and me.
And that's 30 seconds, Mahoney.
Is that Creed?
Yeah, it's Creed.
It's Creed.
You know the song?
Is that Arms Wide Open?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. I know every word, but not the name of the song.
What song is it?
It's One Last Breath.
Man, who would have got that?
Everyone. Well, actually, no one, because that particular video has 65 views.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't awful.
It wasn't awful.
It wasn't great. It wasn't good. It wasn't even close to good, but it just wasn't awful.
That won't worry either.
Okay, so Mahoney, you've got...
Half a point.
Half points. Audrey, you have none.
But I knew the lyrics to that. Can I get a quarter point?
Nope. Okay. Here we go on to the third one, though. You're first on this.
Never care for what they say. Never care for the games they play. Never care for what they do. Never care for what they know. And I know. Yeah.
That's Metallica. Never care for what they do. What is that? I get so tripped up trying to think about the artist first. Oh, man. It's not one, is it?
Man, every Metallica song sounds the same.
I'm going to say that. Or is it like Black or something? Dang, I don't know.
Mahoney, you want to steal? You can't do it.
But I know.
Man, again, every Metallica song got like the same name.
Okay, so Audrey gets a half point. Mahoney adds nothing. This is embarrassing. Nothing else matters.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Nothing else matters.
You're acting like you would know all these off the top of your head.
It's a hard whenever you're trying. It's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. It is hard.
Okay. All right. So
we have a lot of things to remember up here on a day-to-day basis, okay? Some things get backlogged.
You guys are doing terrible. Mahoney, if you get any point at all on this, you're going to win.
Okay.
But it's got to be a full point. Because if you get a half point, then Audrey can steal, and then it'll be tied, and Audrey will win.
Okay.
Okay?
What do we got?
Here we go.
When we're gone, we'll say gone, out of sight, out of mind. It's not too late. We have the rest of our
That's 30 seconds. Mahoney looks annoyed.
I don't know what it is. It sounds like The Offspring, but it's not.
It does sound like The Offspring.
Audrey for the win?
It is... I don't know. Don't get mad.
You're fired. Not you, Audrey. Dave and Jordan.
What is it? Are you going to tell
us? It's Rise Against and Satellite.
Whatever,
oh,
man.
Oh, never would have gotten
that. Rise Against sucks.
You suck.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame. Scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
Wasn't it just like, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago that Nick Cannon was saying he was totally celibate?
Yeah.
Not having sex ever again.
Yeah. After baby number seven.
He just had another kid. So it's with the girl that used to be, I think they were engaged, her and Johnny Manziel, or at least they were seriously in a relationship.
So she has really good taste in men. Somehow finding a way. I mean, I guess Nick Cannon is an upgrade from Johnny Manziel.
At this point.
Yeah.
He did say that after this, remember, this was actually at the baby shower, that he was going to be celibate right during the whole shower thing. And then fast forward to like 2 days ago, and he's saying that he wants like three more kids by the end of the year.
He has eight kids.
You starting to call?
He's trying to get Eddie Murphy numbers.
Ugh.
He don't make Eddie Murphy money, though.
Nick Cannon does okay, man.
Not Eddie Murphy okay.
Eddie Murphy has...
Until
Coming to America came back around from Amazon.
Dave.
I guess
Shrek. The Nutty Professor.
Nutty Professor.
Eddie Murphy, as far as performers in Hollywood, owning their own rights. And do you not remember that banger of a song, Party All the Time?
Party all the time, party all the time.
Of course, Dave doesn't know that song.
Party all... 80 banger.
You know who produced that? Rick James.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
It sounded like it.
I guess if you're going to be the Nutty Professor, you're bound to have a lot of kids. Kind of checks out. Jason Momoa got into a pretty serious motorcycle accident, and of course, he's fine because he's a monster of a human.
I think he was in a car, right? And then he got into an accident with somebody in a motorcycle. Which, if you're, you know, that is, you know, if you're getting to choose one end of that, that's probably the better one.
Yeah, it's like 10:55 a.m. Oof. Yeah, he was traveling in Calabasas, and I guess the motorcycle crossed over the center line and hit his vehicle.
and the person went flying off the motorcycle. And, of course, Momoa springs into action, flags down a motorist, calls 911. The person on the motorcycle transported to a nearby hospital, minor, not life-threatening injuries. So looks like the girl that was on the motorcycle is going to be fine.
It was a girl?
Yeah.
I mean, I just am imagining what I would do if I was in a wreck and Jason Momoa would. I would think I was having a fever dream. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if Jason Momoa was on the scene.
He pops your helmet off and you think you're dying.
And then there's Jason Momoa. Yeah. I would be like, I need CPR.
or maybe a nightmare enough. Because Lower. Momoa's not your thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Sandra Bullock, on the other hand. Yeah. No,
tell me you would turn down CPR from Jason Momoa.
I think even if I was a lesbian, I'd be like, I would try it.
Yeah. Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I know Dave and Mahoney were talking about really seedy hotels they stayed at, but have you guys ever stayed at like a haunted hotel?
Message deleted.
Man, I've got zero desire to do that. I don't like being scared. I don't like scary movies. It's not because I can't handle them. It's like my natural defense mode, you know, where like I don't like it.
Ghosts don't scare me. Meth heads who are going to stab me at the Motel 6 on St. Charles Rock Road, those are the ones who scare me.
Yeah, we had a couple of friends that recently went to like the little ghost town of Tonopah, Nevada, where they have the Clown Motel. And there's like a guy, I mean, the whole thing is clown themed.
Yuck, no way.
And the guy that runs it like did all the paintings of the clowns that are in all the rooms, and there's some of them that are far more
John
haunted.
John Wayne Gacy?
I hate that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not with you both. I am definitely fearful of a lot of things, but I think that it's just like that added suspense, the added energy that whenever you go and stay in those places, whether or not you truly believe that it's ghosts in there, it just, you're in panic mode. Like, your adrenaline is just at peak. I feel like there's a tuberculosis hospital. I think it's in like Louisville, Kentucky, where if you stay the night for the full night, you get your money back. But most people don't actually make it all night long.
Yeah, it's like those people that have the old mental hospitals where like you stay in the basement, or even the ghost hunting shows. Like, that does not interest me at all.
At all.
Not even a little bit.
I would pee my pants. That's what happens. That's my defense. I pee.
Just use pee?
I pee. You know, like fainting goats, they faint?
Yeah.
I just pee.
You just pee everywhere. That's pretty good defense.
I mean, I feel like if nobody would like want to like haunt me in a puddle.
There's a thing for that. Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, y'all, what's your least favorite millennial acronym?
Message deleted.
Is there what are millennial acronyms?
Like BRB, LOL, LMFAO. Is that what that means?
Those have been internet shorthand for forever.
Okay, so what about like totes? And whenever people shorten words.
Okay, so it does annoy me when people unnecessarily shorten words.
Oh, that's so me.
You say Frisco when talking about San Francisco.
If you say Frisco when you're talking about San Francisco, I want to punch you. If you call Chicago Chi-Town, I want to kick you down a flight of stairs.
Okay, what happens if I say Rezzo for reservation?
That's
why would you say that?
Too.
You do that, don't you?
I do. I am.
Not a Rezzy?
Oh, I say Rezzy as well, but no Rezzo, like reservation. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I am that person. But so it's really just like the shorthand, like the shortening of the cities that bothers you guys the most?
Yeah. Vegas for Vegas. I mean, that's the most acceptable one. Diego.
I've never
heard. No one calls San Diego
Angeles.
Diego.
I've never heard any of these.
York.
Imagine if people did that for other cities.
Oh, what a bunch of
clowns. Yeah, you said that one time that it was douchey to call Vegas, Vegas, instead of saying Las Vegas. I don't believe it is.
I do believe it is. You don't shorten it. Full names, man. Full names.
Oh, Copper, who lives in Houston, said H-Town. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dumb.
But that's in a Drake song, so I feel like it made it cool.
Drake's a douchebag, too.
Drake's from Canada. Or Canada.
He's just from Cannes.
It's from Uber.
The latest photo from the James Webb Telescope looks like the carpet in a bowling alley. You agree?
Message deleted.
What?
I saw a bunch of people comparing the new NASA telescope picture to that black speckled countertop. You know what I'm which is pretty spot on.
I think they just lie to us.
I know that I'm a curmudgeon about this. I don't care about that stuff at all.
Because they're lying.
Cool, there's a picture of outer space and a bunch of stars that are a billion light years away.
We're supposed to believe it.
You think they're lying to us? I don't think they're lying to us. I just don't care.
But I mean, like, they could be like, sunset is more impressive this way. They could be like, this is where this, that near this planet, near this Milky Way or whatever. We're just like, okay, I believe you because I don't have a telescope that's like your telescope. There's nobody to fact check NASA.
And why would they lie to us, though?
I don't know, dude. But, like, there's nobody who's cross-checking.
I mean, I'm sure there's other space organizations out there.
Who?
You know where NASA's based?
Houston.
H-Town.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Mahoney, we've talked a lot about these prosperity pastors over the years that are just total scam artists. Like, if you give me money, then God is going to give you eternal life and happiness and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like Joel Osteen, like just these goofs.
Cameron Dollar, all these just shysters. I mean, these guys are just out here grifting people left and right in the name of a higher power.
Like Elton John said, selling tickets to God.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, if God was performing,
buy some tickets?
I'm not going to those second seats.
You ain't standing?
No, you ain't getting
not even for God? You wouldn't stand in GA for God's performance?
I gotta have a seat, man. Maybe a box.
You gotta have a luxury box. You ain't getting in that Jesus mosh pit?
Yeah, nah.
So the reason why I bring it up is because did you see the story about this?
Does CrossFade open for Jesus?
So there's this Brooklyn bishop who got robbed while he was giving the sermon, and the video has gone viral over the past few days, but he's actually up there at his little pulpit, and these masked robbers come in, and they rob his wife and him.
Wow, that's scary.
And they stole over $400,000 worth of jewelry. If you are a bishop and you are wearing $400,000 worth of jewelry, I don't feel bad for you if you get robbed.
It is one of the most disgusting things, and I'm sorry. Like, this is just this is my personal opinion. If you are up there with $400,000 worth of jewelry and you are doing it in the name of whoever you believe in, whatever it is, tax-free, and you're not even, like, that is $400,000 that you could be putting towards the homeless, towards things that your church actually
should be. Why does everything have to be gold?
It is so disgusting to me.
And jewels.
So you're wearing $500,000 worth of jewels, and then you're going to hand out an offering plate for people to give you more money.
Gross.
Yeah, and tax free.
What about that $15 million house you got there, Joel Osteen?
Mm-hmm. Gross. What about that PJ? Gross.
Yeah. Man, just what a grift. What a grift these dudes are rolling.
And people fall for it.
Yep.
Time and time again. Honestly, good for them. I hope they get away with that jewelry. And it was live streamed, too.
It was, yeah.
So, like, have they gotten caught yet?
I don't think so. Haven't seen anything about that.
Probably everybody, even the police, are like,
sorry about your luck. Maybe stop wearing $500,000 worth of jewels while you're talking about God.
Why did you do that? Why did you do that, Terry?
There is a certain person, a person so vile and arrogant, the middle ground between horrible and useless, a culinary and retail nightmare, a person which we call Karen. These are the Karen Chronicles.
May I speak to the manager?
So the Karen Chronicles feature very well-reviewed spots, and there are some Karens and Darrens that are very mad at these establishments. The first one is just, frankly, fun to say, Mahoney.
What's that, Tacos El Gabacho. Tacos El Gabacho?
Right? It's pretty fun to say. Five out of five stars.
Isn't that like a tomato soup?
Tacos El Gabacho?
Or where the, like, you would get sent if you were speaking out against the government in Russia?
You go to El Gabacho Bay?
Yeah. That's America.
Spring Valley, California. 5 out of 5 stars based on 232 reviews. And Mahoney, you've actually done this before when I've been over at your house. You get the, like, they'll come to your place and, like, do the presentation and serve the tacos.
Oh, yeah.
Great experience.
Taco guy to come to your house? Yeah. Dude, it is reasonably priced
and
awesome.
So that's what they specialize in, I guess.
You get to keep the leftovers.
Christina L. said 5 out of 5. Wonderful service and even better food. Maria was amazing and the tacos were delicious. Diane F. said, I highly recommend. The food was absolutely excellent and plentiful, and the presentation was very nice, and we got to keep the leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
Karen R., who did not cancel her appointment, said, 1 out of 5 stars. Thanks for yelling at us on the phone. We didn't pay a deposit, so I'm not even sure why you showed up. We didn't want your services anymore. And then yelling at us? Probably not the way to respond to your paying customers. We suck? Well, so do you. That's it.
Short to the point.
Short to the point.
Well, I appreciate a Karen who doesn't bloviate.
Yeah.
extra dramatics. Well, just really just gets her point across.
Well, like you've said this many times, the recipe bloggers who will tell us their entire life story before getting to what's wrong with it. This Karen straight
to the
point.
It's not even just the recipe. I mean, like every recipe website, you go there and you have to scroll down six paragraphs to get to the actual recipe.
I just need to know how long to cook this chicken for. That's all.
Let's go to a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Speaking of chicken.
I love chicken.
What's this Kentucky Fried Chicken rating?
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
Where's it located?
That's
Las Vegas.
Normal.
Okay.
107 reviews, 107
highly
people
rated KFC.
Have gone out of their way in order to review this place. Roy W. said 5 out of 5. They got my order right. They were very friendly in spite of the busy time. I will be back.
That's a five-star review.
That's what gets it. They got my order
right. They were friendly, and they got my order right.
For KFC.
It was busy.
It's a sliding scale, people.
Eric C., 5 out of 5. His review, KFC is KFC. But this one will stick to the reputation the Colonel builds.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what that means either. Darren S., not impressed, said 1 out of 5 stars. How stupid does one person have to be to work here? How many times do I have to order food that requires utensils and them not come in my order? One would think that after a while it would become a habit to throw utensils in the order when it includes those delicious mashed potatoes. I guess not. Word of advice, you want to eat at this stupid KFC, bring your own fork and spoons from home.
You know they actually sell to-go actual utensils that are metal. Like you can see.
That's too much work.
Oh.
No, man. Give this man a spoon or a spork, and I'll say this. As somebody who has frequented KFC on a regular basis.
Are you the Colonel?
No, I am not. I'm not a racist in a white suit. I will say this.
You don't have a white suit?
No, I don't. I will say this. Every time I order, when I go there, I order 6 extra biscuits. Half dozen extra biscuits because I love biscuits.
You are so dramatic.
And then
dramatic.
I ask for butter, and they never... Ever. Or they like, I have, it has to become like an arm wrestling ordeal with them
to get the butter. Give me my butter.
Or the butter they do give me.
You don't have, it's hard.
It's frozen.
You don't have butter at home.
Not.
Listen, I know.
I want
when you're
room
on the road.
Temperature butter that is spreadable for them biscuits, not some hard ass butter that I'm going to rip all the biscuits up while I'm trying to spread it.
You know what? I think that fast food has just not been as good as it once was.
That could be the case.
They're just not giving us what we're used to, you know?
Let's go to our final review. This is La Sierra Mexican Restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky. 4 out of 5 stars based on 44 reviews. So not a ton of reviews, but Samantha J. said 5 out of 5. Absolutely delicious. A friend of mine took me here recently, and I loved it. Jeremy W., 5 out of 5. La Sierra is my go-to Mexican spot. I eat here at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
You can't miss with this
place. Hyperfixating,
yeah.
Okay.
2 to 3 times a week.
That's straight up hyperfixation. Yeah.
That's a bit much. Darren E. said 1 out of 5 stars. Food was fine. Service was utter garbage in every imaginable way. Waiter never checked in on me. Not even made eye contact. And this is on numerous occasions I tried to make eye contact, and they wouldn't. Check took forever to arrive, after which the waiter stood there waiting, hovering over me for at least 10 minutes, probably for the purpose of making sure I left a tip to which they are not entitled. I gave in and simply gave him 10% just so I could get out of there because I felt intimidated by that garbage, and I still regret it to this day. Screw that!
You're staring them down, and you feel intimidated?
You're trying to make eye contact with the server so that way they'll come over and check on you. And then they hovered over you for 10 minutes while you were filling out the check.
I mean, if that is true, that's a dick move.
Why did it take you 10 minutes to fill out the check?
Sometimes you're talking. You get a conversation going. You want to talk about things.
Fill out the check and leave.
It would be a standoff at that point.
If you took 20 minutes to bring that check over,
uh-huh.
I'm waiting an extra 20 minutes before I fill it out.
I might be Team Darren on this one.
You guys are the worst.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Those snap bracelets from the 90s taught kink to an entire generation.
Message deleted.
Do you guys remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Those were like the rage. I remember like you would have like your if you were good in class, at the end of the month, you would be able to get like a prize.
That's
in the
what
prize
they give
closet.
You. Yeah, you'd have like little prize bin. You'd always slap bracelets.
The slap bracelets were.
And do you remember like the designs that they used to have on them? It'd be like the, I mean, very almost like a lot of the shirts that you wear today,
yeah.
Which, you know, they weren't retro at the time, but like the orange and black. But like the neon orange tiger print and stuff.
Oh,
like,
it was that, so early 90s.
Did you have like a whole sleeve of them at any
point?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then you like, later on, you would like open them up and you take the like the little fabric off. And then it's just basically a measuring tape.
It's a measuring tape. It's exactly what it
is. Yeah.
Same material.
Same material.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Just repurposed. Yep. Like, whoever that guy was like, whoa, we got way too many measuring tapes. Tape.
All right, we're going to cut them up, and we're going to sell them to kids.
These were the things at the book fair. Dave, I don't know if you can see it. I'm going to post it or show it to our...
That looks like a sex toy.
It does. It
that looks like a pocket.
Twitch chat, twitch.tv/David Mahoney. But these were the things that I remember being super popular. They had like a hole in the middle of them, and
it's just a fleshlight.
It would slip and slide out of your hand. It was like almost like jelly. Sometimes they had like oceanic like little fish on the inside of them, but you would always get them at the book fair every time. I've never seen them, maybe like a book fair or a Chuck E. Cheese are like the only two places that you see them, but I don't even know what they were. They were just goo filled saran wrap toy.
It looks like a fleshlight.
Very phallic.
Like the front
very
end
phallic.
Of a fleshlight.
Yeah, and then you'd sit there and just canoodle it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I 100% when I was 13 would have used that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Please leave a message after the tone.
Sorry, Audrey.
I just had the Bloomin' Onion from Outback and the Cactus Blossom from Texas Roadhouse. And I'm sorry, Dave. Texas Roadhouse is on another level.
Message deleted.
Get this sacrilege out of here.
Dave.
Did you put this in here, Jordan? This is an unacceptable phone call.
Dave, I like Outback, but Texas Roadhouse is infinitely better.
No.
It is.
No.
When was the last time either of you went to those places?
I've been to both of those within the last 2 years.
Two?
Yep.
Whoa. Okay. Dave?
It's been a minute since I went to an Outback. Maybe it's the nostalgia.
I think it is the nostalgia.
Being a former Outback employee who was covered in flair.
Oh, my gosh. Were you proud of your buttons?
Oh,
Did you go out and buy your own buttons?
No. You had to earn them. They were awards.
Oh, and you're a goal-oriented guy. You were really
When
proud.
I got that little orca.
It was validation.
For Mother's Day record sales. I wore that high and tight on my shirt.
I'll tell you this. I was so proud of being like a shift lead when I was like 18, 19 years old. At Lone Star Steakhouse and Saloon. I had like, you know, because I got to wear the black polo instead of just the T-shirt.
Oh.
So I felt very fancy. But can we talk about cheese fries? All of those places, like steakhouse, cheese fries.
They're garbage.
No.
They get soggy.
They get soggy. No, you
gross take
it
at the
back.
Bottom.
You see what I mean?
Oh, my
Sacrilege.
God.
Sacrilege. No, so the thing is, with Outback's cheese.
And Texas Roadhouse.
The chili cheese fries are just the straight cheese fries with bacon. They would do two layers.
Yep.
So you would put one layer of fries, cover it with cheese. Mm-hmm. And you put another layer of fries, cover it with cheese again. And then you'd get not even a ramekin, but like a small bowl of the homemade.
We used the soup bowl.
Like a soup bowl.
We did.
Of the homemade ranch.
Texas ranch.
That was cold.
Yep.
And you'd take that pipe. Oh, God. So good.
That sounds great in theory, because whenever it first comes out, perfect. But if you don't eat that in 1 minute or less, everything is soggy.
No, that is untrue.
And then
that's
just not true. Getting the ranch, you can't dunk the fries in the ranch because you're getting particles of and remnants of your soggy French fry mess in the ranch.
We need to do a show meeting at Outback Steakhouse.
No,
I have had chili cheese fries before.
You're having the wrong ones.
The cheese fries with the thick.
Are you still
cut?
Getting propagated by
Audrey? You're thinking of thin fries.
Outback drip.
These are steak fries, the thick, wide brim fries, which hold their
integrity
better.
Okay.
Well, let's go after the show today to a Texas Roadhouse or an Outback.
All I think about, how many calories do you think are in just like a single
12,000?
I could probably tell you right now.
You're probably pretty close.
I mean, seriously, I'm going to guess probably close to 2,100. I mean, seriously.
On a whole plate?
On a whole plate of French fries.
Way more than that.
You think?
And then you include
like
the ranch in there that you're just dunking it into?
2,500. How far can you go over the
3,750.
But can you go that high?
Yeah.
I mean, because I think that on most menus now, they say
legally?
You're like at a 2,000 caloric intake at the bottom of most menus now. It's like what you're supposed to have on a daily.
Yeah.
So how many items can you have that are over that
okay.
before it like becomes like a legality thing? I know, like
Outback, I don't break the law.
I mean, I don't know.
Calories.
So the FDA company.
I'm on fastfoodnutrition.org, and I'm looking at the cheese fries from Texas Roadhouse. They're saying there's only 1,240 calories. I do not believe that.
That is a lie.
I think it's triple that.
Yep.
They find loopholes. I swear, because you're right. The ranch, they don't include that. You know, they can't be included.
We just said that we want a whole bowl of ranch. Ooh.
65 grams of fat. Oof. Yeah, man. I believe it's like 3,000.
So we're still going today.
Oh, yeah.
The David Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
Most of the time when we have a story about there being some sort of heist and people stealing stuff, I'm like, these idiots, like, this is never going to work out for them. This, though, makes a whole lot of sense to me.
What happened, Dave?
Police have detained a pair of professional thieves who are accused of stealing $1.6 million worth of wine from a hotel.
That's a lot. I mean, well, could be a lot
You'd
of wine.
You think it's a lot of wine? So it's
how
40,
many bottles?
45 bottles, which...
Let me do the math.
I mean, that's four cases.
1.6 million?
Uh-huh. Divided by 45.
So $35,000.
So not all of them were that expensive because there was a singular bottle that was worth $310,000. Both suspects were given a tour of the wine cellar by staff, which is a pretty common thing, I guess, at this hotel. And the male suspect then went down to the cellar using a stolen master key and left a few minutes later with three large rucksacks filled with the stolen wine, stuffed with hotel towels and things to cushion the bottles. But they made off with $1.6 million.
Do you think they knew how much this wine was worth, or were these just
like... Because they went on the tour first, and I imagine that if you're the hotel and you've got a bottle worth $310,000, you're going to point that out, right?
What if this was just like the most evil wine sommelier ever? Like, he was just like, I am going to take this tour. I need to know what all of these taste like, but I'm broke. So he stole them.
What do you do with the $310,000 bottle of wine?
You can't sell that.
Black market.
No, can you sell it?
I think you steal it and drink it in the parking lot.
Sell it. You could sell it to somebody who is a huge, like,
wino.
Like, I mean, you find, like, wouldn't Johnny be a billionaire, Depp. But you find somebody that's like, it's $300,000 bottle of wine. My guess is you could probably get $20,000 for it.
How much money would you have to be worth to ever get to the point of drinking a bottle of, well, you know, whether it's wine or like the super expensive scotch that's been aged for 100 years or whatever?
You would have to be a celebrity.
No, you wouldn't.
I think athletes would buy that and then use that as like a talking point. I can absolutely see that happening.
Yeah, but
I
mean, they wouldn't pay retail for it. Yeah, a stolen bottle.
No, I'm saying, like, how much would you have to be worth for a $310,000 bottle?
I need
of wine.
20 mil? 300,000 times whatever I make, because I've spent $1,000 on a bottle of whiskey before.
But did you drink it?
I mean, over the course of like 8 years.
Okay.
20 million dollars,
and you're dropping 310,000.
I think that would be like a normal thing.
Normal thing?
You need to make. I would
Johnny
say
Depp.
Three bottles of wine is $1 million. You only have 20 million total.
How many? I mean, Johnny Depp. In his lawsuit said that he was drinking like $300,000 worth of wine in a year.
He's worth a half a billion dollars, though.
Yeah, like they were saying he was drinking like some bottles that were worth like 20 or even I think I heard one is like 45,000. But he's worth a lot of money.
I think to drink a $30,000 or $300,000 bottle of wine, you need to be worth between $50 and $100 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So
if you're doing it by yourself.
See, I don't know how to price this out because I'm just like, what's your wealth? What's your call?
And meanwhile,
what
we can go
buy. What are you drinking at the bar right now?
Let's go get a bottle of Boone's.
Hey, I'm okay with Meiomi, man. Like a $20 bottle of wine, whatever is like in the middle. Like I don't look up whenever I'm at the grocery store. I don't really look up at the top shelf. You know what I'm talking about? Like with a 40 to 50.
You don't want that.
I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Whatever is my direct eye contact, which I didn't know that until recently. Like they have them literally by the shelf. The nicer stuff is up top, and then whatever's in the middle is the middle.
Yep.
And the bottom is the bottom, which makes total
sense.
Like,
I'm middle class, so I'm just going to look straight ahead.
Right ahead.
Yep. I don't want the $6 bottle of Barefoot.
I'm above that.
That was college.
By 5 feet.
It's the Super STUPID Spelling Bee.
QRSZ 3 Quattro.
Mahoney makes it seem like he's nervous because we have some new people in charge around these parts. Some new bosses have come in. We had a former boss return who has hated us for many years. So that always makes things dicey. But I don't think any of that matters, Mahoney. I don't think there's any expectation that you are going to ace the Super Stupid Spelling Bee.
I think we should not draw attention to just how dumb we are, Dave. If we want our company to invest billions of dollars into this program.
Billions. We are the infrastructure for this country.
We are the backbone.
That's right. All right, so Audrey, you're going to go first today.
Why?
Why not? These are fourth grade words. Super simple.
Okay.
First one is recommend.
R-E for sure.
Mm-hmm.
C, rec. Mm. O. Now here's where it gets tricky. I think it's double M. M-M-E-N-D. Recommend.
Recommend. Correct. Okay. Well done.
Good.
Why you got to add an extra M in that bitch?
It doesn't make any sense. Because it's not recommend.
Doesn't need an extra M.
Recommend.
Yep.
Mahoney? Government.
G-O-V-E-R-M-E-N-T.
No. There's an N.
N.
I said
government.
N. That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said G-O-V-E-R-M-E-N-T.
You said
N. N-M-E-N-T.
I said N.
You
like
did not.
And M-E-N-T.
Oh, God.
No,
you were exhausting. Okay, here we go. On to round number two. Let's make
this
it a little
bit. This game's
failing
just like our government is.
Let's make it a little bit more difficult for Audrey.
Why?
Restaurant.
No. This is the one word that trips me up every time we go to spell it. So I don't ever put restaurant. It's like, you want to go get food? Restaurant.
Yeah.
R-E-S-T. Again, This is where it gets tricky.
Or.
Oh, no.
Isn't it or?
No, it's there is an A-U, but is it before or after?
Restaurant.
So is it restaurant or is it restaurant? I think it's this way. R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T.
Look at that. You got it.
Right?
Easy.
I know.
Mahoney, you get an easy one, too. Convenience.
I can't spell that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. A convenience store? Sure, you can.
I before E, except after C.
Nah, that doesn't help me at all. I don't even know what that means.
I before E?
Convenience. C-O-N. Veen. B.
Yes.
I-E-N-C-E?
No. C-O-N-V-E-N-I-E-N-C-E.
Garbage-ass word.
Mahoney wins.
Thank you.
Mahoney wins?
I'm kidding. You didn't get any right.
I was like, what?
Again, why are we doing this?
We talk for a living, not spell for a living, Dave.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I get paid to talk.
How stupid you are.
Dave and Mahoney, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So Audrey just posed a very interesting question to us. Let's say that, Mahoney, you're a happily married guy. I'm a happily married guy.
As we are.
Audrey is newly single, though, and she's curious if my wife were decide to leave me for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
And she starts seeing somebody else. Would I be a very petty dad to the new stepdad?
Right, or would you be like cool about it?
Totally cool, like, hey, you know, we've moved on. You're happy now with this new guy.
And obviously there's a lot of things that factor into this, whether or not he's a good guy, whether or not like you guys got left on good terms, blah, blah, blah. But let's just take all of that out and just know who you are as a person. Just like really really
there's so many factors that go into it, like did I leave her or did she leave me? If she left me,
she left you.
Petty till the day I die.
But
if
see,
I left her, but see, then what if about, he's cool, then I'm cool.
Like, you want the kids to be happy, right? Like, first and foremost,
nah,
you want the kids
be
happy.
It's all about Mahoney.
Yeah.
Now he feels, not the kid.
But see, I feel like if we're being honest, I would get real petty if I felt like he was being a better dad than me.
Right, like he was taking him to all the
games.
Are
you an absent? You're just you're working too much.
I'm working too much.
He's younger. He's taller.
All that stuff.
Well, I mean for real, though.
Meanwhile, they're just like having fun at like the water park together. I'm like, screw this guy.
Well, because there would be a new type of attachment, right?
Yeah, don't buy my kid a snow cone.
See, would you be petty?
I would be petty. I would hate it.
Because they're spending, a chunk of time that's very important time with this new person.
Man, I saw a thing that just made me so sad the other day.
What's that?
You spend 75% of your time with your kid in your entire life and in their entire life by the time they're 12 years old. 75%.
Well, I mean, that's cool if they suck. You guys always think about, like, kids are going to be great. Like, the thing that is in the back of my mind is man, what if I get a kid who's just like me, who's just a a-hole, who's going to make my life miserable? Because that's what I did. Like, my stepfather, who raised, you know, he was married to my mom. I think they got married when I was in, like, first grade.
Yeah.
So he's been around my family, you know, he's been my
you
family.
You call him dad.
Yeah,
and all that.
Yeah. Like,
see,
like, I mean,
I'm
I don't
saying.
Call him dad to, like, his face, but when I refer to him as dad. Yeah.
See,
as my dad, because he spent 30 years raising.
Have you ever had that conversation with your actual dad, though? Like, does it bother him that you call somebody else dad?
Well, I don't call my stepdad dad, but when I refer to him as my dad. But I also refer to my dad as my dad.
Well, so see, it's a complicated thing.
But does your dad know that you call him dad?
I mean, my dad listens to the show.
Well, so that, but you, has that ever come up?
No, I mean, that's,
because that would drive me crazy. Like, if my kid started calling somebody else dad.
Again, my stepfather.
Been there the whole time. Yeah.
He, great guy, but I was a dick to him. And, like.
For how long?
I would say probably from, like, second grade until.
You're not my dad.
Not even.
Did you ever drop that?
I never said that.
You're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do.
But I was a dick. And I would go, like, he's a Marine. So he's very, like, what Marines do, very strict. And he's very, like, there's an easy
organized,
way, there's a hard
yeah,
way
yeah.
In doing that. And. You know, good for him is that, like, or good for me is that, like, he loved my mom unconditionally and did everything. So I would just always go to my mom and play on her heartstrings.
Of course you did.
To play that off. But it was just such a dick move on my part. And I didn't realize, like, our relationship didn't change, really. Like, always loved him, always cared for him. But, like, we butted heads a lot until I was, you know, probably 20.
It was probably, like, that testosterone trying to, like, buck up to the.
Dude,
the,
just teenagers
the
are
alpha
the worst.
Dude in the house. My mom
is the sweetest person in the world.
Yeah.
And so it didn't really manifest there because, you know, I think all boys love their mom, like, or at least for me, I'm a mama's boy.
Yeah.
Like, self-proclaimed. I love my mom. Like,
yeah.
There's very few things in the world that will get me going like that. But again, so it's like it was it's tough, man. Like, teenagers and step parents, it can either be amazing or you can,
tough,
you know,
really, really tough.
But I appreciate him so much more as an adult, knowing, like, him raising me, him, you know, providing for my mom, taking care of her. Like, as an adult, I'm like, that's a hard thing to do.
It's a sacrifice,
yeah.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, I think that you almost universally appreciate your parents a lot more
as you get
when
older.
You start to get perspective,
for sure.
And you realize all of the nonsense that they had to go through in order to raise you, because it is tough.
Because they're figuring it out. Because you said it just the other day, Dave, whenever you're going through life and you're like, I thought that this was supposed to be like an adult feeling. It's supposed to just like kind of take over me, like wash over me. You just feel like an adult. But every day you're going through trials and tribulations of trying to figure out life and the way to do things. That's our parents, too.
I remember
every day.
I mean, not so much with the second and not even really the third or the fourth, but definitely the first kid when we had Sienna. I remember being at the hospital and, you know, went through all of the normal stuff where they, you know, we were there for the appropriate amount of time. And they're like, all right, you can go home. And I'm like, we can go home? Like, what?
You're
I don't
not
going to
do
what
like a class?
Give me this thing?
I don't know what I'm doing. What are you doing? I don't know. Go home.
Do I get Gap insurance
can
on
you come home with me?
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Honey, I don't know how you feel about the luxury vehicle SUVs that don't really need to be SUVs, and I'm specifically talking about the Lamborghini SUV. Have you seen those?
I have, and I'm a fan of the Lamborghini SUV,
Dave. They're actually pretty cool.
I mean, the price-wise on them, you know, they're, what, $300,000-plus?
Yeah, they're the same
so
price as a Lamborghini.
Obscene,
yeah.
But pretty damn awesome.
Well, this guy, if you're going to do it right. Just before 3:30 p.m. the other day, Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue had to go out to a report of a Lamborghini SUV that had landed on the roof of a house, slid off.
They fly now, too?
Slid off and then erupted into flames. The occupants of the Lamborghini left the scene prior to the fire crew getting there, so they actually were fine.
Uh-huh.
Driver of a second vehicle involved in an accident did have some minor injuries, but everyone's okay. Thankfully, no one injured inside of the home either, so the house had to be vacated due to the extent of the damage, but pretty wild for a vehicle to go flying off of a bridge like it did on an overpass, land on a house, slide off the roof, burst into flames, and the people in the Lamborghini SUV were just like, whoops.
We out. I mean, if you... I don't want to judge anybody, but, like, why are you buying that house under the overpass? Buy the one slightly adjacent to the overpass, but directly under it, like where a car can fall off and land in your living room.
Because you're like, there's no way that there's actually going to be a car that lands on. Oops.
There if there is any car that is going to land on your house, though, probably a pretty good sign that it was a Lamborghini because you know they got money.
They got money and they got good insurance.
So we don't know if this car was stolen or not, which I'm sure the whoever owns that Lamborghini will probably claim.
For sure they're claiming that. So don't mess around with Taco Bell or you're about to find out. A lawsuit alleges that a Taco Bell store manager in Dallas poured boiling water over two customers Jesus. After they complained about an incorrect order.
I just saw this video.
You did?
Yeah. So I mean, she has like a vat
yes.
of water
yep.
and like stomping towards. I mean, that is
it was out
really
the drive-through
crazy.
Window, too. Yeah, they received a $31 order, and there were some wrong items in there. Instead of just correcting the order, the Taco Bell employee threatened to fight the person who was a minor in the car, and the Taco Bell store manager violently and without really any warning grab this vat of water
and
pour
you
it
can
all
go.
Over. You're stuck in your car,
stuck
right?
in your car. So she just dumped all
this water.
They're
saying second and third degree burns on their bodies. So they're seeking more than $1 million in damages. Again, there was a minor in the vehicle as well. They need to get that money.
For sure. And they deserve every penny yeah. of it. I mean, who does that come from? Taco Bell itself?
Probably.
Or hiring yeah. the employee?
The yeah. franchisee.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, or more, most likely.
You sue Taco Bell.
The insurance yeah. company is yeah. going to be the one who
takes
who pays
claim.
That out.
What a headline.
She threw
this
water
is.
At them in, oh, it's water
yes.
out of the fryer.
Yes.
But yeah. she threw it at them in the building as well.
Oh, in the building
I'm looking
as
at
well?
This. This wow. is wild.
I mean, I think that the two, I mean, I don't, I think that she probably lied on her resume saying that she does well under stress and under pressure because that is straight up. I don't know how busy you have to get to where you, the first instinct whenever somebody says, can you please correct this, is to grab something that can harm someone like that.
Let me ask you this, though. I feel like I'm more understanding having to wait long periods of time at taco places and or burrito places than any other fast food restaurant.
You're more understanding?
I am. I feel like tacos, I'm for whatever reason, the... with a more lackadaisical approach to bringing it to me.
Because there's more craftsmanship that goes into a taco.
I don't know necessarily if that's the case. I feel less angsty when I'm at a taco place. Maybe because I know I'm going to get tacos.
What a headline this is. Topless woman attempts to ride lost dolphin. A
so,
topless
America.
Woman attempted
this
to
has to be America.
No, it was not.
This is not America?
In the Netherlands.
Oh.
This is the most American thing that's ever happened
in the Netherlands. A topless woman attempted to ride a lost dolphin that was able to find its way back to the sea in the Netherlands. The video that was posted on social media shows the woman repeatedly climbing on top of the dolphin's back and attempting to mount it. Some beachgoers can be heard applauding in the background.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about this.
I'm clapping. I'm clapping for sure.
I mean, that poor dolphin, man.
The dolphin? What's wrong with the dolphin?
Yeah, dolphins have
dolphins
fun.
Can handle it.
We ride on dolphins in, like, the Florida coast all the time.
We are not supposed to ride or touch sea life, people.
Yes, you can.
Hey,
you
they
can
have
touch
whole their, things where you
can, like,
go ride
with
those
dolphins.
Those are dolphins that have been subjugated and that we are taking advantage
you're
of.
You're telling me this dolphin wasn't like, hold on, there's a topless chick getting on the back of me?
Nah, I'm looking at her. That topless chick looks like me, man.
The David Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So at least I think that it means that they're a good friend if they'll tell you when you're doing something wrong. Like, if you have a friend that's screwing up.
Yeah.
And you're willing to tell them, because if I have a friend that I don't really care that much about and they're doing something that is self-destructive or whatever it is, I'm not getting involved, right? But if it's a good friend, like if I see you and you're slipping to the point where you're gonna blow up your life,
it would have to be
spot,
pretty extreme, I
yeah,
think.
For sure.
And I'm the same way. Somebody I don't care about, whatever. I'll watch it from the side and I'll eat it popcorn style like watching Thriller. But there's some things out there that can be dicey. And I've got a friend who has recently gone on this, like, really hardcore health kick. Like, they have stopped eating all dairy, all gluten. They've removed meat from their diet as well. So it's I'm like, what are you eating now if you're not eating any of those things?
So they're, like, raw vegan?
Yeah. So that's one thing. And, you know, hey, I don't judge anybody. Your health journey is yours. But they've also taken to removing, like, the chemicals from, like, I'm not using soaps. I'm not using shampoos. I'm not using toothpaste. I'm only, like, using
Why?
Charcoal. I don't know what has spurred this for them. But this is a journey that they're going down. But the craziest part of that, which I would have no real issue. Met up with another group of friends a couple weeks ago, and we all were, you know, kind of together. And
they stunk.
They, I mean, absolutely reeked.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, talking, no, soap is good. Soap is a totally
and it's
necessary
not even,
thing.
I don't even think you necessarily would need soap if you do whatever you do. But they are only bathing once a week now. Not they've removed all the food. They've removed all the chemicals. But they've also stopped showering on a
and it's
regular
the
basis.
The height of the summer.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I am a little bit curious about this because I do know that a lot of the things that we consume are really bad for us and we consume them, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's just fact. We know that. A lot of our products, especially like deodorant, is very bad for women and it's been a leading cause and one of the causes for breast cancer. We know this. These are factual things. So I'm curious as to what was it that triggered? Because was this a slow drip? Have they always kind of been very...
This is
the things that they consume and eat, or this was just a very drastic swing.
I have seen
swing.
This person do cocaine.
So it's 100%. Just a swing.
I've seen you drink the worst stuff in the world. I've seen you do cocaine, and now, and again, that's 15 years ago. But
and people change.
But how do you tell?
It's hyperfixation, though. It's the same thing that we see with a lot of people with the way that they react to. Even politics in this day and age. Like, they're all in. It defines their personality all of
a sudden.
It's
a personality trait.
Yes.
Dave, you are so spot on. People who make things like that their personality, it has to consume them. Because
also,
otherwise, it's fake
them. Don't make not showering your personality. And don't make whoever you like in politics your personality.
Or
if,
anything.
If that's the case, you're just boring.
Is it make me
smelly?
A dick if I tell them that they smell?
I think that makes you a good friend.
I think so, if I'm smelly... For an extended period of time.
Right. If it's just you make your wife dry heave because your armpits are a little ripe after a day.
Okay,
that was
a exploring. How do you bring this up? How do you have this conversation? Because you can't do it and you can't do it amongst friends.
I think I would lead them down that road.
I think I would ask in a playful way. Be like, whoo, smelling ripe, Jerry.
I would ask about maybe like, hey, since you're not using like soaps.
What are you using?
Like, how are you doing this? Because... You know, and then hear that, and then maybe kind of...
I would do it a bit more passively. Like, hey, man, do you have a cat now? No. Ah. You just smell a lot like cat vomit. That's, you know...
Because they're really... We've heard a lot of these celebrities who are talking about they don't shower unless there's, like, physical dirt on their bodies. Remember?
Yes,
like,
it was
Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
Oh, yeah.
Who don't shower and they don't have their kids bathe. Unless there's physical dirt on their bodies. But, I mean, I think that they use deodorant. And, I mean, we really are stinky people. Like, I mean, truly, if you are out walking around, there is nothing worse than smelling, I think. That might be my number one fear is being a
stinky
person.
I don't want to be a stinky person.
Because nobody likes a stinky kid in school.
Right. There was always a stinky kid in school.
And you tell me, Audrey, because I think this could swing the other way. I've always been afraid of being the stinky person ever because you one time, and it's like that's enough to trigger you. Do you think I wear too much cologne?
No, never. Swear. I swear.
Because I've been putting on.
You know what that means? You don't wear enough cologne.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, so this is about you guys trying to find a place where single guys are hanging out. There's an obvious one, but the guys are on Xbox, they're on the PlayStations, hanging out on their computers, playing video games. That's the good guys. They're not going to be out there drinking unless it's a weekend and their buddies are out. So if you're just trying to find where the guys are hanging out, that's where they are. They're gaming.
Message deleted.
We got a couple of messages like that. There was actually a girl that was listening along in San Diego that said that she actually became a gamer girl to meet a guy because there's no guys out and about.
So I game, and I have single friends who game with me as well. But I'll tell you this. They're not out at the bars drinking, but they're at home drinking while we're playing video games.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how many times guys from my Call of Duty squad have been drunk as hell
Does it affect their gameplay? Can you tell when they're drunk, even though they don't admit?
Our guy down the hall.
Yeah.
Who, you know, may have a bourbon or four when his wife's out of town. Uh-huh. You could tell. You could tell when he's a little saucy. But, I mean, I tell that to my wife, but she's like, you know, I'm like, I could be out on the streets.
Uh-huh. So here's my take. I have been with a gamer person before, and gaming started to take precedent over time and quality time with me. Now, I think that there is definitely people who have a good balance, but I don't think that I would be willing to actively search out another gamer who is at home on the weekends, not wanting, if they are single, to go out and do fun things, because that's where their fun things are.
Yeah.
That's what takes precedence over their time out and about.
I've never really understood it because I've never been a gamer. Outside of when I was a little kid, you know, and I'd be playing like Nintendo
Maybe
and stuff.
Maybe in college where you're playing GoldenEye.
But even then, it wasn't like all-consuming, multiple hours a day and, yeah, everything else. But when my wife and I first started dating, she told me like one of her favorite things about me, which shows you how short the list is of things that she likes about me.
Okay.
No, she said, one of my favorite things about you is that you're not a gamer.
Yeah.
Because I assume that she dated somebody that was a gamer, and it can be all consuming. Yes.
Straight up.
It's the most, for me, I think it's the thing that frustrates my wife the most about me.
Well, because you love it, and it is a passion of yours, and I understand that as well.
And you always say, I mean, when the microphones aren't normally on, that you love it so much more than you love her.
Is that what I say?
Okay. Don't get him in trouble.
Verbatim.
Yeah.
Because I would say, for me, I waited about 8 years. Or so at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Really, like 2020, as I got really into gaming.
Well, it was a way
again.
To connect, right? Yeah.
You know, so that was one of the things for me. I got really into Warzone. Like, I haven't played a game like I played Warzone in probably 20 years.
Yeah.
Most time I would spend playing a game would be maybe 60, 80 hours, 100 hours for a game, maybe like Skyrim or Fallout 3 or Fallout 4. But on Call of Duty, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, let's take how many hours. I think I've got 22 days played of Call of Duty. So that's 528 hours.
Over how long?
Say beginning of the pandemic, so March of 2020.
Yeah. I mean,
so that's a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, I play most nights, and I got to cut back on it. I know, but I'm just starting to get good, man. I'm just
well, that's the thing.
To
you
get
start
good.
Getting good, and then
I'm
you
just starting to get
then
good.
Then you also have your boys in there that are encouraging you to come play because now you're good.
Oh, and all of a sudden, I carry the team.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to do without Mahoney? Who's going to be their point guy? What?
Audrey's so mad.
No, I'm not. Nothing to be mad about. No, I'm not mad at all.
Yeah, I'm not married to Audrey.
No, I think that it's
my wife's mad.
I think that it's just it's just easy. We've been talking about this a lot today. I think it's just very easy to get hyper fixated on certain things. And sometimes we just get a little lost in the sauce. If it's working for you guys and if that's what it is, then perfect.
You and I
all things are hard to moderate.
You and I are both hyper fixation people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's all in or nothing.
Yeah, I'm all or nothing. There is no medium ground for me on literally anything.
And dieting, you and your wife do actually spend a lot of quality time together,
sure,
too.
Sure, we do. Yeah, I mean, I'm not spending all of my time.
But you're not, like, going out. You're not doing stuff. You, like, go on walks together, which is, like, really cute.
Well, I need to walk some more.
Let's start walking.
Well, it's summertime, man.
It is really
hot. Too warm.
Yeah. To be fair.
Yeah. I gotta wait till like October, November, December, or March.
No, but really, it's cool.
I came across an article of men who are considered zaddies. Audrey may be happy to know that Matthew Lillard was on it, but I don't know what a zaddy is. Do I want to become one?
Message deleted.
A zaddy is just a hotter, older man. He doesn't have to have kids.
He's got
to
have a beard, though, right?
I mean, not necessarily.
I feel like a zaddy
I'm
has
into
to have
beards.
A beard.
I'm into beards. But, I mean, I think that if you're just a little bit older and, say, like a 21-year-old is looking at a 32-year-old, if he looks older, I mean, that is such a swing, right? That's a 10-year age gap. That could still can be considered a zaddy. But, yeah, just anybody who's older than you who's good-looking.
So I've always thought, like, zaddies, like, start at, like, 45, where it's, like, there's kind of the idea that, you know, you're at the age where you're not traditionally sexy, but then you've carried that over, you know? And we see that.
I think that some men are way – and we've talked about this. Some men are hotter when they get older.
Yeah.
I think that
yours
what is
truly.
Traditional what's traditionally sexy now. I mean, think about George Clooney.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, George Clooney has been
hot
whole life.
But I mean, like, when he started getting gray.
He was like 80s mullet hot. He was hot on ER. I mean, that's a guy. It's like the same thing with like hot women, you know, like Cindy Crawford, ageless, timeless, you know, from the time she was 18 to, you know, till the day she dies at 100. She is going to be a beautiful, gorgeous woman. Same thing with like Sophia Loren. I was going to say, no, Sophia Loren, who way, way older. You know, it's like these are just people who are naturally beautiful. But guys like, I would say for me, I feel like I got better looking when I grew a beard and I got older. I feel like for me, it's like, you know, at least that's what I tell myself.
Mackenzie said tatted silver fox with a beard. Oof.
Yeah.
That's Zaddy
material. I think that it definitely goes to whatever your taste in men is. So like a Zaddy would be like older, tatted. And yeah.
They're saying Idris Elba is a Zaddy.
Whatever your flavor is.
Christopher Maloney from Law & Order SVU. Is a Zaddy.
F and Stefan said 45. Jesus, more like Zarampa.
No.
I feel like Mahoney said that the Zaddy has to have a beard. That's a personal attack on me because he knows I can't grow one.
So you're just like a
Andrew Sullivan, they're saying, is a Zaddy.
You're just a father.
Dude, they're saying like when you Google Zaddy on Google Images, it's basically Christopher Maloney. Or Maroney, however you say that.
Maloney, you're just trying to make it sound Maloney. Very close to your name.
They're saying that
Mahoney, huh?
They're saying he's the John Hamm, also a Zaddy.
John Hamm,
but again, guys who are just like, I would say Christopher Maloney, the guy
who
from
is
Law,
that?
The other guy from Law and Order, the guy from Law and Order SVU.
Oh, that Nick is his
whatever
name.
His name is, but he's gotten better with age.
Stabler,
yeah,
Stabler from with Law and Order. Yeah, yeah, he's hot.
End this now. Thank you.
Need more Dave and Mahoney? Be sure to follow them on social media at Dave and Mahoney and visit DaveandMahoney.com.
Fabulous.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine, out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. The land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.